Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Mark Grody asks, which score host is most likely to be murdered? And the four answers are Mully, who gets 3% of the vote, Mark Grody, who gets 2% of the vote, me and Bernsey, who account for 95% of the combined vote.
I will look for you. I will find you, and I will kill you.
Now, Dan takes up 65% of this, but Dan's been working at this station longer than anybody and yelled at a third of our audience over the collective years.
Oh, my God! Someone's trying to kill me! Oh, wait, it's for
Danny.
I'm troubled. How did I make it to the list? just by being you. Just by being you and unapologetically yourself.
The following neighborhood residents will not be killed by me.
Dan, Mully, and Grody.
That is all.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Show has flown by, as it often does on a Monday, but also the goal is, Speaks, to just have so much damn fun that these 4 hours fly by. I always say that's the best compliment a listener can get. You help by day, go by a little faster.
100% agree. And even with brutal Chicago sports activity over the weekend, there's a ton to talk about, and we've enjoyed ourselves. But some tough COVID news for the Cubs on the heels of the White Sox vaccination announcement yesterday. So let's get some clarity from our guy with the station, shall we?
That's right. Our baseball insider, Bruce Levine, joins us now, as always, on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline. Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. So Chris Young, the bullpen coach, has tested positive for COVID. What else do we need to know, Bruce?
Well, what you need to know, and good afternoon, guys. What we need to know, what people need to know, is that Chris Young was on that flight that the Cubs took last night from Pittsburgh to Chicago. They came back to Chicago last night, stayed in their own places, and bused to Milwaukee this afternoon. So the positive test came up today. There were negative tests on all of them until this occurred. And so through contact tracing, other bullpen people that were in that bullpen, Winkler, Adam, and Workman are now on the IL. So this is more of what the COVID IL is, but it's not the 10-day IL. It's an IL where they do the contact tracing. They make sure these guys are okay. When they're cleared, there's a protocol for them to come back, and they can come back right away before 10 days are up. So those are the clarifications for these three guys. And a lot of ink, coming from David Ross talking about this in his Zoom just about 15 minutes ago. Obviously, everyone is concerned for them, and they're very concerned for themselves.
Yeah, contact tracing, I get it. But what does that mean, that these guys were sitting near Chris Young? He was on the flight. If he's on the flight last night, I mean, Through what I know scientifically, that means more than just the guys sitting near him might be in trouble in that way, Bruce.
Well, you know, the doctors say it's the period of time that you're with people. So, you know, I can't tell you exactly what it is.
15 minutes.
Other than to tell you that they spent a lot of time in the bullpen together, and that's, you know, these three guys are with Chris Young out there, so they're the first three. As this story develops, we hope there's no more and that they're eventually cleared after they go through all the protocols. But that's where we stand right now. Two coaches already positive for the Cubs, and hopefully it stops there. The game is on tonight, according to David Ross. Hopefully there's no more outbreak.
Last thing from me on this, Bruce. We appreciate you calling in with the breaking news. Is there any indication that the Cubs are frustrated that they are not at the 85% threshold for buy-in on the vaccine yet?
I mean, you know, David Ross is the only indicator for this because we talked to him every day about it, and he was asked that question, you know, again today, and he's very positive about the fact that he would like everybody to do it, but is respectful of the people that have no interest in doing it. And there are still some Cub players and personnel that have no interest in doing it. Whether this changes the dynamic or the thought process for those guys, we'll just have to wait and see.
All right, Bruce, good stuff. And the White Sox just announcing, by the way, that Carlos Rodon has been scratched tonight due to an upset stomach. Dallas Keuchel will start. So tons of news. We'll let you get to it. Thank you, Bruce.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Bruce. Man, that's crazy. So Carlos Rodon scratched. And as Bruce said, those three pitchers on the injured list, not on the COVID list as it stands there. They are back in Chicago and quarantining here in Chicago. Not a single positive COVID test last year for the Cubs, who were exemplary in the way that they went about their protocols and dealt with life on the road amidst that season, but not so lucky this far this year.
And I'm glad you used the word luck, because they got a lot of credit for not having any positive tests, but I would always say, like, there's a huge luck component with that. Like, sure, you could be extra reckless and expose yourself to extra risk for conducting it, but you could also get this virus by doing everything right and just having bad luck, right? That is absolute. It's airborne. You could get it. I mean, obviously, the touch to the surface contact is way less than initially believed 14 months ago or whatever, but there's other possibilities here. And so, you know, they did a great job last year. It doesn't necessarily mean that they've done a poor job this year because of this Chris Young positive test. But what you can say is it is frustrating that if you believe in science and you trust your doctors, that a team that, you know, had personal experience and is just whatever, even if you don't have a personal experience at this point, man, we are so far along into this story that I don't get the anti-vaxxer thing. I don't want to go off on it too much here. Bernstein already took care of that for the station. But, like, but honestly, like, what is your end game? Like, if your end game isn't the vaccine, you're just, like, waiting for everyone else to get vaccinated and herd immunity and trusting vitamin D and exercise? It's crazy to me.
You remember when very early on there was this revelation of what the previous White House wanted, which was people to just accept, it's just part of our lives and just live with the virus. I think that has become a reality for a lot of people, and that keeps them from doing anything. They're like, oh, you know, no, this is just going to be part of our lives. So anything you tell me to do, I don't have to do because it's just going to be part of our lives. And they stop the intellectual train right there. They don't go past that stop to some of the other places, it's disappointing. It's disappointing.
It is. Like, you read the stuff, and it's like, well, if I'm going to still have to social distance and wear masks afterwards, then why get the vaccine?
The right.
I mean, I don't know.
Because it's not just about you.
Well, and even if you want to make it about you, you're still less likely to get it if you're vaccinated.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So, the masks for other people and to do the right thing and all that sort of thing. But, like, I would assume you'd rather not.
Yeah.
But apparently that's a wrong assumption. Like, that apparently that is just, like, honestly, like, that is a fairly obvious statement. There's a virus out there. I'd like to not get it. Apparently that is not a 100% universally held opinion. There is a large percentage of people that are like, there's a virus out there. YOLO, seven, baby. Papa needs a new car.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird thing. I can't relate to it. I really can't.
I think some of those people may have had the experience where somebody they know got it and was fine. Or they themselves had a brush with it and felt fine, you know?
Sure.
And,
good.
You know,
you're right.
There's been enough that has happened that I don't feel that way. But some people do.
Yeah. So here we are. Three guys in the bullpen going through the contact tracing. Hopefully no positive tests come up. Game is still on. Tonight we're taking you right up to Cubs baseball. Bullpen coach Chris Young has tested positive for COVID. But you, Spiegs, I started the show by talking about how on the field, this is a very tough product to watch, to consume, the Chicago Cubs. Because you look at it, 30th in average, 30th in on-base percentage, 28th in slugging, 30th in WRC+. This is a bad offense that also is on a trajectory towards a rebuild. Even if they don't want to call it a rebuild, like, this isn't a contending team. They traded Yu Darvish. They're more likely to be sellers than buyers at the deadline, in my opinion. And it's not like 2014 or 2015 where you're like, you're at the start of something fun. This is at like the end of something that was amazing, but it feels like I already know how the book is going to end. So why continue to like go through the pain of what I think is going to be ultimately like a 75 or 80 win team? And you want to talk about like how we got here, right? Because it is instructive, I guess, in thinking about overall, man. I also have fallen prey to like a lot of talented dudes who want to make a lot of money, who have accomplished a lot of great things. On paper, they should be a lot better than this. But I think part of it, too, is none of this, when David Ross talks about it being a long season, this feels like the continuation of lots of failures that we've seen before.
It does. And it is, because the offense, even when it does right itself, and I believe it will right itself at some point this year, it's still going to be the same deeply flawed offense that we've come to know because of what they built and what they still have. And the ebb and flow of trends around the game has always fascinated me, Danny. The Cubs and their opponent yesterday are great touchstones for the conversation, because the Pirates got healthy as an organization in the early 2010s with a pitching focus on low pitches in the strike zone, two-seam fastballs and sinkers, right?
Yep.
That's what they did, and they were one of several teams to do it that way. It was a great way to go against the trends in baseball at the time. And then all these hitters started to focus on launch angle, and that countered that. Hitters learning to elevate the low stuff and driving it out of the ballpark. The Pirates and others did not counter, okay? And so the Pirates went in the crapper, and Neil Huntington got fired and all that, because their guys didn't counter, and they gave up on great pitchers like Tyler Glasnow, now in Tampa, right? Or Gerrit Cole, who leaves and got better, because the league adjusted, started throwing high four-seam fastballs.
Right.
And curveballs or sliders that came out of the same tunnel and broke down. Well, that launch angle counter that happened, that's who Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer drafted. That's who they developed. That's who they compiled and threw together and invested in and believed in and built their core around. And great, they got all these launch angle guys. But as the league adjusted and figured out the four-seam fastball at the top of the zone and the 12-6 breaking ball, the launch angle guys became swing and miss guys at outrageous rates. Crazy, crazy rates. And the Cubs drafted, acquired, developed those guys and have not been able to diversify their portfolio year after year after year. So here we are. When they homer, it's great. And when they don't, it is freaking torture. Absolute torture. And you knew, like you said, like you just see that they're not going to come back on Saturday. They felt like they weren't going to come back on Sunday, because teams know how to get them. And some of them are still committed to doing what they do. Because if this is your profile, you have to become super aware as a hitter situationally and be malleable enough to adjust what you do, right? We waited for years for Kyle Schwarber to do it. Never was able to do it. We see Anthony Rizzo do it. He adjusts situationally. It's very rare. Chris Bryant is resistant to that kind of adjustment and sometimes will still be swinging away with, you know, with a man on third and less than two outs in a way that drives you crazy. And the most egregious offender of this continues to be Javier Baez, with a complete lack of situational awareness. And I want to take you to yesterday, his second at bat in the fourth inning, when the Cubs are already down four, and it's first and third with nobody out. Bryant gets hit by a pitch, then Jock Peterson singles, first and third, and nobody out. You're down four. You got blown out the night before. This is your moment to keep the train moving. At the very least, make contact. Hell, even if it's a double play, you'll score a run. But maybe you'll poke it through and continue the train and get first and third. Or maybe you'll hit a line drive. Or who knows? But make freaking contact. And Javi Baez gets out in front 2-0 on the count. And then swings and misses. Swings and misses again at a curveball in the dirt. And it's now 2-2, and he gets another curveball in the dirt. And we have it, Studs, from Marquee yesterday. Javi Baez, first and third, nobody out, 2-2 count.
And Javi chases that time. Brubaker expanding the zone. That is out number one.
Wild swing here, almost premeditated. Breaking ball way short and way off the plate. Talk a lot about the Cubs and high strikeout rate, and sometimes it's the when that matters most. First and third situation, you'd love just a little lazy fly ball to the outfield there.
Any kind of contact. And Javi can do it. That's the thing that drives me crazy. Is that you remember 2016 during a playoff run? He got a great two-strike hit against the Giants in a playoff game. He and Contreras both. He can do this. When he goes the other way, he's a brilliant hitter. That is horrific situational awareness from Javi Baez. Down four, got blown out last night. And I don't know how you invest, frankly, in him at a real high level when he continues to not show this kind of situational awareness and you don't have enough guys in the lineup to protect certain moments like that.
Yeah, I mean, whether they invest with him or not, that big picture conversation is one that we've had and we certainly can continue to have. And your point is very well stated, and it's absolutely true that the league has adjusted to the Cubs, and it's not just the Cubs that have this profile, but the Cubs have a bunch of guys with the same profile. And so the league has adjusted to that profile, and it's impacted the Cubs in worse ways than it has other teams. The one thing I would add to what you're saying, though, is that you always like to talk about the human side of baseball and the human side of sports, right? Chris Bryant got to where he got.
Yes.
By doing it his way. And we talked a few weeks ago about David Ross talking about get your numbers, be a little selfish, the individual nature of this team sport. And you think of Chris Bryant and Javi Baez. Legends, rich, famous, adored. They cannot go to a game, home or road, without seeing dozens, if not hundreds, of people wearing their jerseys, screaming their name, chanting for them. And they have gotten to this place largely by doing it their way and not making adjustments. I obviously agree with you that if they had some Anthony Rizzo in them, some BHAC in them, some situational awareness, those other approaches, they would be better off for it. The team would be better off. They'd be better off. They'd make more money going forward. But it's just so – Chris Bryant doing it his way, MVP, Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, like all, absolutely.
The
ridiculous trajectory that Bryant's entire life and career have gone, and he will get paid this coming off season by somebody and for being paid, that guy.
Right? I mean, like his arbitration number is huge. He's a very rich man with a ton of huge endorsements. Like he's – these guys have – it's very easy for us to say, like, change when they're like, yo, man, like I've done it this way. Like, I've been pretty damn successful doing it my way. So,
But Danny, they would still be that guy if twice a series, twice
I
a week.
I agree
right?
with you.
But that's the thing.
But doesn't it feel like it's easier said than done? Because it is the majority of baseball players do not do what you're saying. It's a three true outcome game, man. Strikeouts have been normalized. It is Anthony Rizzo is the exception more than the rule. He just is. And by the way, he's probably going to sign for the least amount of money of those three guys. And now part of that's the position he plays and his injury history. And I understand
and
that
the age.
Yeah.
And the age.
But I mean, you watch way more out of town baseball than I do because you watch some out of town baseball. Like there are how many guys in the league, right? We could pull up radio in Pittsburgh, New York, Boston, Philly, like, and we ask those guys, how many guys do you feel like are really good situational hitters on your team? Is it more than half or less than half? My guess is every single market says it's less than half.
It is less than half, but once you reach a certain level and you are going to be a made guy, Javi's going to get at least 80 million, probably 100, maybe even 120. I don't think he's going to get 150. I don't think he's going to get 200.
Right.
But who knows? But Javi's going to get, you are a made guy. Then you can adjust and get even better. And the best do. Javi made adjustments to stick in the majors. He and Joe Maddon worked very carefully together. And Javi made big time adjustments to stick after failing early on. He's capable of doing it. Sometimes it's just, it's either a lack of awareness, which this felt like, or the stubbornness like you're talking about. And frankly, I don't know which one is which at a certain given moment. But if ever there was a situation to be aware and to adjust, it was right there yesterday. But he probably thinks, I got a couple more at-bats. Maybe I'll do it later. Right now, I hit a three-run homer. We're back in this one like this. And that's just not the way to go about it. So disappointing.
He's Matt Spiegel. I'm Danny Parkins. It's Parkins and Spiegel. And that's how the Cubs got to being an unwatchable offensive product.
Whew. Oh, boy.
Yeah, man. Not great at all. Let's get to this Liam Hendricks audio because he is the epitome of fun. And I'll give you a little preview of a Hall of Fame debate that's frankly going to be a little maddening. It's coming up on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jose, before we start, I want to start just showing off the shirt. I don't know if it's back to front or not, but it says the pen is mightier. So just things that we all threw today, so I may as well throw it in there. And of course, the got to work on that sponsorship.
I love Liam Hendricks. I don't even care if he gives up a home run every time he pitches. I just want that guy to be relevant, talking as often as possible. And not even because of the accent, though that is an added bonus. Because he is a self-described crazy person with a lot of opinions, and I really enjoy hearing every single one of them.
I think, Danny, he gave us, I know we're going to hear some, and I'm looking forward to it, three different possible reasons for his own struggles. Like one very scientific and technical, one kind of abstract and just sort of personal, and one just out there, completely off his rocker out there.
So let's hear from Liam Hendricks on his struggles.
It's been tough on me the last little bit. Obviously, my results haven't been where I want them to be. And when that happens, you start overanalyzing things, as I said. And it's just, there was a lot that goes into it. But I spoke to my tarot card reader this morning. I spoke to Ruby. She gave me a couple of things where I was already leaning towards those sort of things. But hearing that kind of confirmed from a different source who has never seen me wrong in the past is pretty nice to hear. And there's certain things that it's just stop worrying about trying to live up to expectations. Stop worrying about trying to do this. Just go out there and be you and go there and be pitch by pitch. And that's when this stuff happens. It's what I've been able to do the last couple of years. And that's what I'm going to go doing forward. But there is one thing that I need to make sure to myself. And I vow that a day like yesterday will never happen again.
I love this guy. He believes in the tarot card reader, yeah. Ruby. They've become family friends. We talked to him about it on this show. It is not a bit. He loves it, believes in it, and I am here for it, frankly. It's great. We need more of it. That's the type of random, like, eccentric type of stuff. Baseball's way too analytical, way too number-based. I like that sort of thing. I don't like to step on the white line when I cross into the field to play. Like, tarot card readers, yeah, bring it, more of it.
What if I told you, Danny, that today he also said his delivery extension, mechanically, was down about 4 inches on Sunday. He noticed more drop in his four-seam fastball as a result.
Inside the clubhouse.
He's working to correct it while playing catch today. What if I told you that?
Yeah, that's great. That's great. That's perfect.
How about the one that I read to Steve Stone earlier, where he talked about once the relievers get in the monotonous rhythm of the regular season and feel a little more comfortable, they'll be okay. How about that one? That's sort of halfway between tarot cards and delivery extension.
Yeah, I prefer the tarot card personally. it's fun. He is fun. He knows. He's like, hey, he knows. The bit of it isn't the tarot card, because he's got a real relationship with this person. They've befriended, the wives are friends, all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
The bit to him is, do these people think that I truly believe it? Like, he likes saying it, saying the absurd thing, and then how do people respond to it? I guarantee you he's sharing that tidbit of information for effect and for humor. And that is great, because
that
at
is
the end
great.
Of the day, this is entertainment, man, and I love
yes.
that.
Well, and he completely and utterly understands that.
Yes.
I love that he is both scientific and, you know, creative.
Correct.
That he's
left brain, right brain.
Yeah, because that's the game, man. Yesterday on Hit and Run, which I know you're a devoted Sunday morning listener to, I had Travis Sochik on. Yeah, I had Travis Sochik on, writer of Big Data Baseball and the MVP Machine. Terrific analytical, metric-based and development-focused baseball guy. And I pushed him towards the end. I said, what soft factor do you actually give credence to? like confidence or chemistry? And he laughed and he said, yeah, confidence and makeup. You know, you got to be tough enough to handle. Sure. Like, you know, so I love to push those guys to talk about the soft stuff. And at the same time, I remember talking to guys who were only about the soft stuff, like Gordon Beckham. Me and Mac used to talk to Gordon Beckham. He never went to the analytical. Never once. He's like, I just got to be me. I just got to keep trying to be me. And I remember throwing my head in my hands going, dude, no, there are reasons. There are reasons. So you need both sides of the brain.
Of course you do. Of course you do. I am talking about it from a talk show host perspective. Like, I want my baseball team to scout the human being and the numbers. Like, have the scouts with their eyes, have the scouts with their projection models. Of course, of course.
Totally fair. Totally fair. That's why there's chocolate, vanilla, hit and run, and the Parkinson Spiegel show. That's why there's everything. So let me ask you this then.
Yeah.
What do you think of a guy who become friends with his tarot card reader and he and his wife have a long term, you know,
I want to offer him a weekly spot on the show is what I think.
Because like,
the tarot card reader, Ruby is, I mean, probably cheaper than Liam Hendricks for a weekly spot, but I don't know. What is the tarot card reader confidentiality agreement? Like, is it like if you booked my therapist for the radio show, that would be terrible radio because she can't disclose anything that I say in session. Would the tarot card reader of Liam Hendricks be a good guest?
I don't think HIPAA protects tarot card readers. I mean, I could be wrong.
Can you Google that, please? I'd be interested in knowing.
Here's my drawback is, like, what if you do this? Like, is this one of those things that they give you? Like, what if the Grim Reaper comes down? It's like, oh, so I'm going to die? Is that the what they're saying? Like, I don't want to know that.
Well, that's why you aren't friends with Ruby the tarot card reader.
I also don't want to know if I'm going to have a terrible day. Like, that's not, like, I would rather just find out in the moment than just be dreading that I'm going to have a terrible day.
Again. Different strokes, different folks. Liam Hendricks, I don't think it's all predictive either, right? Some of it is reflective. And do I feel this way? Explain it to me. I think it's for me, I would it would not affect me in any way. It would be I would look at it as nonsense.
Don't you think that most tarot card readers, or at least the good tarot card readers, have a self-awareness that what they're doing is at least in some form a bit? And they're absolutely
a scam, a con, if you will.
Or at least it's a little bit performative. Do you think Liam Hendricks is a guy who is a little bit performative? Oh, hell yes. He's very performative. So I'm sure they can bond on that and stuff like that. And of course, there is some truth in the conversation you have with those people. That's why it works, because they're really good and perceptive.
Yeah, it's another form of talk therapy. I mean, we're joking here, but you just heard him say that Ruby the tarot card reader said, you're trying to be too perfect. You're trying to live up to these unreasonable expectations every time out. Just go out there and be you. How many times have we heard the athlete who signs the big contract? John Lester talked about it, that John Lester tried to justify $155 million in every start, right?
So
whether you get that piece of information from a veteran teammate, a mental skills coach, a tarot card reader, or a fortune cookie, like,
it's all the same. It's all the same as long as you're smartly taking it in and having the proper perspective on it. Bruce texted a back in about the Cubs' maneuvers to replace the three guys. Brandon Workman, Dan Winkler, and Jason Adam, who are all back in Chicago quarantining. Justin Steele has been recalled from the alternate site. Brad Wick, the big left-hander with a sweet curve, has been recalled. And Pedro Strop has been selected as a replacement player from the alternate site. So he is back with the Cubs. Pedro Strop, who made the team briefly out of camp and then made it through designation and got to the alternate site, is a Cub right now, tonight. Pretty cool.
That is very cool. Can I give you the Cliff Notes version before one last thing and we answer some questions on the Hall of Fame debate that is going to take over the national sports discourse now that Julian Edelman has announced his retirement?
Sure.
Okay. When I say Julian Edelman Hall of Famer to you, first reaction is?
No, because...
Yeah.
No, because I don't think he's ever made a Pro Bowl. He has only 600-some catches. Hines Ward has twice the yards.
Strikes you as ridiculous, right?
Ridiculous.
Three-time Super Bowl champion. Second all-time in postseason catches and yards to Jerry Rice.
That's pretty good.
Three 1,000-yard seasons, which, whatever, a lot of guys have more than that. But in terms of, it's not like he never had good individual seasons. And then this. By any measure of what constitutes an elite NFL career, wins, championships, production, Julian has it all. Few players can match Julian's achievements, period. But considering his professional trajectory and longevity, the group is even more select. It is historic. This is a tribute to his legendary competitiveness, mental and physical toughness, and will to excel. Day in and day out, Julian was always the same, all out. Then in the biggest games and moments with championships at stake, he reached even greater heights and delivered some of his best, most thrilling performances. For all Julian did for our team, what I may appreciate the most is he was the quintessential throwback player. He could and did do everything. Catch, run, throw, block, return, cover, and tackle. All with an edge and attitude that would not allow him to fail under any circumstance. Julian Edelman is the ultimate competitor, and it was a privilege to coach him. That endorsement, Bill Belichick.
That's really cool because, you know, Belichick loves guys who can do a little bit of everything. He's always had guys like that going back to Troy Brown. Is it Troy Brown? Yeah, Troy Brown. And, you know, all through, he's always had guys who can do all those kinds of things. And for Edelman to be that is that's really cool. Good for him. I would argue, Danny, that when you're a Patriot, catches and yards, they become counting stats, compiling stats in the playoffs because, oh, look at that, you're in the playoffs that much.
Of course. He has a Super Bowl MVP. I do not think he should get in. I think it's very obvious that he should not make it and will not make it. But when you have three-time Super Bowl champion, second all-time postseason yards and catches to Jerry Rice, and we know how it works. It's human beings sitting in a room debating candidacy, and you have endorsements from Tom Brady and Bill Belichick that will be glowing, two of the most influential figures in the history of the sport.
Yep.
He's going to get talk about it. He'll be the Eli Manning of receivers in terms of the debate. And he will get a ton of Hall of Fame hype as it gets closer.
Yeah, Warren Sharp had tweeted this at Sharp Football. Hines Ward, who can't make the final ballot in the Hall of Fame voting the last 5 years, 1,000 catches, Edelman 620. 12,000 yards, Edelman 6,800. Hines Ward, 85 TDs, Edelman 36. Super Bowl MVPs, they both have one. Pro Bowls, Hines Ward 4, Julian none. So I think it'll get shot down. But I appreciate your moment of appreciation as we appreciate together the career though not a Hall of Famer, of Julian Edelman.
Burn that place down if Julian Edelman gets any consideration for the Hall of Fame.
I'm with you. It's insane. I'm just telling you.
You're not with him. You brought it up. How could you be with him?
I prefaced it with, get ready for the Hall of Fame debate that is going to take over the national sports discourse.
I'm just saying. I get it what you're saying. You're saying your boy Nick Wright is going to be doing it.
You're
going to
hear a lot about it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He is the exact type of player that will get thousands and thousands of words. All of it. It's all of it, man. It's Belichick. It's Brady. It's fudging stats. It's grittiness. He would go over the middle. Like, it's
trustworthy. It's Dane Sanson, Edelman. Yes,
yeah, it's exactly. All that stuff. It's like, hey, you know, if Edelman got in, maybe Wes Welker should be in. Like, I guarantee you that
isn't
conversation
is going
to happen. Isn't
there a place in the Hall of Fame for a guy like Julian Edelman? Isn't there a place
exactly
in the Hall of Fame?
That is what I'm telling you. And so I framed the argument in that way, but I am firmly on Team Herb. Herb has a way with words. He's very efficient with his words. I like that about him.
I don't think that guy would be making that argument, Spiegel, the guy that you were doing an impersonation of.
Oh, no? You don't think
no.
so?
I mean, the Bostonian would, but that guy you're doing, that sounded a little country.
Yeah. Little country. But.
Oh, right. Good point. I just hope that Edelman can come to Passover Seder next year. That's all I hope myself.
He's invited. Multiple soup Monday, baby. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We answer your questions next on The Score.
It's time for one last thing.
That is the $1.5 billion question.
I just want to ask you one question.
That's a general answer to a general question.
Ask any question.
I just want to ask you
for anyone on the
one
show.
Question.
You know, there's times where I don't want to answer your guys' dumb questions.
I just want to ask you one question.
What do you think about verb?
It's the dumbest question you could ask.
What?
Jesus.
I just want to ask you one question.
I respect the question and I totally get why you're asking it, but
I just want to ask you one question.
One of the biggest questions that people will ask in these type of situations.
I just want to ask you one question.
One last thing with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Text in your questions. Twitch in your questions. Someone on Twitch said, who's taking the questions today? Because Shane isn't here. Don't worry. I got the Twitch chat up. You could Twitch him in.
Someone there you go. I'm looking at the texters, Danny. I'm trying to help with that. I figure that's what we would do. You'd be on the Twitch. I'm on the texters. But the text thread is just filled with you and me replying to guys all day.
Yeah.
It's been a very active day. A
lot of interaction on the text line. That's the thing. Well, I'm not logged into the Twitch chat here, so normally I'm interacting with the Twitchers, but today back in studio and I forgot my logins, it's saved on the computer at home, I've been responding to texters today. I really do enjoy the back and forth with the listeners, but sometimes it can be distracting. Trying not to be distracted. Cubs baseball, by the way, coming up in a little bit. We have these cameras in here, by the way, Speaks, and they can see us on Twitch and, you know, all that stuff. And so someone said, Parkins, why do you talk with your hands so much? Like, man, I just do. And I saw Scott Van Pelt say something actually just yesterday. It was interesting. He said that the reason why he holds a pen on TV is because he's the same way. He talks with the pen and his pen is very heavy. He holds like a ridiculous, like over the top pen that he doesn't even write with, but he keeps it in his hand as like a reminder. Hey, I'm on camera here. Don't talk with your hands so damn much, which I thought was fascinating.
That is fascinating. Well, usually you and I mean, in the past, we'll be there in front of each other and talking to each other. And now, if we're not together, we're on the Zoom and we're still talking at each other with hands at each other in that way.
That's right. Because people, they see on Twitch, they're like, what are all the hand signals? Go over the hand signals real quick for people. Because we've got a few of them.
Let me follow up here.
Right. Circular motion forward with a couple of fingers. I'm going to follow up on this topic.
Right. Here we go. I've got something. Short. It'll be short. My follow-up will be short.
Yeah, hold up one finger for I've got something. It'll be short. Just, you know, fingers less than an inch apart.
And then this one is my favorite. Change the subject. It's like jump with two fingers from one thing to the other.
Like, we got to move on. We got to get this person off of this topic. We got to get to the next thing that we was. Yeah.
You guys have your own sign language going on.
That's right.
Yeah. By the way, someone asked me earlier if I've had any more luck getting a cameo with Ashton Kutcher. The answer is no.
Yeah. But you also haven't tried.
Yeah.
You're aware of.
Pretty confident.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you tell us. You tell us, you're like, guys. I'm beating down every possible angle that I possibly can to get Ashton Kutcher on the show. But look, Studs.
I talked to his cousin's wife's sister the other day.
Studs brings it up, Speaks, but we're not allowed to make fun of him for it. It's very confusing.
Yeah, no, well, and in a related story, have you talked to Shane Reardon while he's sitting at his desk anytime recently? Just curious.
Yeah, you should call him. Thanks to Will Perdue, Steve Stone, and Rich Williams, Trevor's dad. That was a really fun conversation. Brian Gertz, Herb Lawrence, Adam Studzinski, Matt Spiegel. I'm Danny Parkins. We're Parkins and Spiegel. Zach Zaman has Cubs baseball for you coming up next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.